Welcome back to In the Moment. South Dakota Public Broadcasting covers all games from the state girls basketball tournament this week. Watch Class A games on SDPB1 TV and Class B games on SDPB3 TV. All games are also streamed online at sdpb.org/basketball. Coverage begins today at noon Central, 11 Mountain. This afternoon's games in Class A feature St. Thomas More versus Madison, followed by Little Wound versus Webster Area. Class B begins with Warner facing Timberlake, then New Underwood takes on Sanborn Central Woonsocket. And with us now to talk about state basketball, we've got Nate Weck from SDPB. He's up in Brookings at Class A tournament town right now. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lori. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Getting ready for a little basketball. It's getting pretty exciting up there at the Frost.
You bet, yeah. A lot of fans are making their way into the arena for the first session. Like you said, St. Thomas More in Madison, and then Little Wound in Webster area right after that. So, yeah, doors opened around 11 o'clock, and people are filing in. They're grabbing their popcorn, grabbing their hot dogs, and taking their seats. So it's, I think people are going to be in for some exciting basketball the next few days.
All right. Give us a little preview, Nate. What are we looking forward to here?
Well, there's eight teams for both classes. This year, much like last year, the AA girls are going to be with the boys' weekend, which will be next weekend. So the AA girls tournament will be taking place out in Rapid City next week at this time. So for what we've got going on this weekend is, like you said, Laura, we got Class A in Brookings and Class B is in Huron. We've got some really interesting teams, I guess, if you want to look solely on the Class A side. The one seed is St. Thomas More and the two seed is Hamlin. And both of those teams are on opposite ends of the bracket. So if they win today, win tomorrow, they could find each other in the championship round. And if they do that, both teams would go into that game with undefeated records. Neither have a loss on the season. So that right there is kind of something to watch. That would be exciting. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have two undefeateds going at it, I mean, you know both of those teams are absolute legit at what they do. And that kind of screams instant classic when you're looking at it on paper. And the Class B tournament, too, is interesting as well. And even though there's no undefeated teams at the Class B tournament, I think that almost makes it a little bit more exciting, too, because you've got Warner, the number one seed, with two losses on the year. You got Sully Buttes, the two seed. They have one loss on the year. Ethan's the three seed. They have one loss. New Underwood's the four seed. They have one loss. Sanborn Central Woonsocket, they're the five seed. They have one loss. And then you have Avon with two losses at the six seed. So you're talking about all these teams that have only experienced one or two losses maximum on the year in those first six spots on the B side. And, you know, just looking at it on paper, especially today, and I'm not really one to point out, like, oh, this one's the game to watch. This is going to be the one that everybody needs to have their eyes on. But if you're looking on the Class B side, I think the game that you need to have your eyes set on is the New Underwood Sanborn Central Woonsocket game at 1:45 today, because both of those teams come in with just one loss on the season. Both have had a lot of success over the years, and I think I think that's just a game that has the potential to go right down to the wire. Not to say that other games don't have that potential, but if you're looking at it from an on paper perspective, I think that number four, number five seed game in Class B starting at 1:45 Central time today with New Underwood and Sanborn Central Woonsocket is really the game to watch. And on the Class A side, where I'm going to be at, I think the game that has the potential of stealing the show today would probably be the Lenoxdale Rapids game. And that's going to be at 7:45 tonight. Lenox is the number three seed. Del Rapids is the number six. Lenox is 20-2 on the year, and Del Rapids is 18-4. Plus, both of Lenox and Del Rapids, they're both about the same distance away from Sioux Falls, while Lenox is a little bit southwest of Sioux Falls. You got Del Rapids to the north. So I think that right there, they're kind of fighting for the regional, the area type of bragging rights as well. I just think that game right there, too, is going to be a game to watch out for. I think that one has a lot of potential to go right down to the wire as well and be really exciting for the fans watching at home and the fans that are in attendance.
Tell me if some of these teams have played each other throughout the season. How have they matched up this year so far?
Well, it's kind of weird. Obviously, St. Thomas More and Hamlin haven't played during the regular season. And it's a little bit trickier, too, because this is the first year, too, with Class A where they've adopted that Sweet 16 format. So they basically took the final 16 teams, and in Rogers are saying Region 1 is going to play Region 2, Region 3 is going to play Region 4. They took all of those 16 teams and they revamped them so that you'd have the top team playing the 16 seed, the 2 seed playing the 15, and so on until you get to that 8-9 mark. It's interesting because I think this is kind of the way of experimenting, the High School Activities Association's way of experimenting to say, you know, if it works well this year for Class A, we're going to be able to do the same thing possibly next year with Class B or in future years with Class B. Because when you look at Class B, a lot of these teams really haven't played each other throughout the regular season. Whereas Class A, you've got a little bit more of that. And some teams have even seen people a couple times because they maybe played them in the regular season, and they also played the teams in regions or districts as well.
So when we say, you know, kind of somewhat of an experiment, see if it's successful, what defines successful at this point? Like, what does that look like if they say, yep, that was what we wanted, that was the, you know, what's the desired result here?
Well, I think different people would probably define it differently. Mm-hmm. From the chair that I'm sitting in, the way that I would define it would probably be looking at the way that this Class A format works this year. Are you going to have as many blowout games? Are the games going to be significantly closer? You know, and I just mentioned, too, Lenox being the number 3 and Del Rapids the number 6. You know, if that game, you know, that game maybe in the old format, the way that they had it set up before, maybe that doesn't happen. Plus, I mean, you can have teams, too, from the same region that can all go, that you can have multiple teams from the same region now that can go to the state tournament rather than last year. We saw it on the B side. You had Irene Wakanda and Viberg Hurley. Only one of those teams could go, which was unfortunate because both of those teams were teams that probably could have won a game in the state tournament. So it was just unfortunate that one, that they both couldn't be there. Because you do see it some years, there are teams that, you know, just they come into the tournament and they get beat pretty good. And I think the Sweet 16 format, the idea behind it and the theory behind it is to try to tighten up the competition so that when the state tournament occurs, you're getting the 8 best teams in the state in that class. And I think that's the overall goal of what the Activity Association wants to do. They're looking to see how it pans out this year. I'm sure they've already had conversations about it. They're going to have more conversations about it after the tournaments and such like that are done. And we'll probably have more conversation about that in the summer and during some of their other meetings here, even in late spring, to kind of see how they all feel things went. And I'm sure they'll get testimony and stuff like that, too, from activities directors, athletic directors, superintendents, coaches, and things like that, too, to get their impressions on how they like the format. And then if it's liked, it's well received on the A side, and there's enough people on the B side that are like, you know, I thought it worked really well on the A side, we'd like to try that on the B side, then I think you might be able to see that kind of carry over in the future as well with Class B basketball.
Nate, let's talk about some of the individual players, standouts, such. Who sticks out to you?
Well, I'm going to, because I've went and talked to a few of these girls, I know we've talked about them on the program, but with Class B hoops, you've got the number 2 seed in Sully Buttes, and they're led by senior Chloe Lamb. Obviously, Chloe Lamb's a girl that we've featured a couple times. She's very good. She's going to play D1 ball next year for the University of South Dakota. When she is on, it's pretty incredible to watch because she can take over a game. She's got those leadership skills, and the rest of the team kind of rallies around her. So when she's on, Sully Buttes is a driving force, and I think they're a team that makes it super exciting to watch. That's why I think if Sully Buttes could somehow get to the championship game on Saturday night, and if they would play a team like Warner, that would be really interesting to see how Chloe Lamb plays against a team of that caliber on that kind of stage when the state championship's on the line. And no matter what happens, you know, there is no tomorrow. It's cliche as it sounds. It's for all the marbles at that point in time. So I think she's a fun one to watch. And the other girl, too, is also on the Class B side that I think is really exciting to watch, too, and that's Maya Selland. We talked about her last week, Lori, and she is with Sanborn Central Woonsocket. They come in as the 5 seed. And one thing that's interesting, too, is Sanborn Central Woonsocket has never really been a team that's come in seeded specifically high. But they've always been a team where you watch them, and for them to, when they lose a game in the state tournament, they're a tough out. It's never a gimme game if you're going up against Sanborn Central Woonsocket, and I think a lot of that has to do because it's against a person like Maya Selland and what she can do on the court. And she's a person that one game can put up 20 points, have 8 assists, and the next game put up 42 points and have 5 assists. I mean, if the shot's there for Maya Selland and they keep giving her space, I mean, she's just going to knock down points all day. When Josh and I went and did our interview with Maya Selland, she was sitting there during part of while we were still getting lights and stuff set up to do the interview. She's sitting there dribbling, just shooting free throws. And I got back in the car later and I looked at Josh and I said, did you realize that she shot about 25, 30 shots and I only saw her miss one while we were standing there casually talking to her? And Josh goes, right. Oh, I saw that, man. She can play ball. And I'm like, yeah, dude, she's legit. And she's going up to play ball with South Dakota State next year to join fellow Jackrabbit Macy Miller, and that's kind of who that's kind of who Maya Selland reminds me of a little bit. Is if you think back to the AA girls class when Macy Miller was with the Mitchell Colonels and how good they were, and the way that Macy Miller could just put the team on her back, and when they needed that spark and put up an elite level performance, those types of performance that Macy Miller had. Kind of seeing the same thing in high school at the Class B level with Maya Selland.
Go ahead, Lori. I was just going to say, I went back and looked at that Facebook video, the digital short you had on Maya Selland, and the thing that struck me was that she speaks for really all these basketball players throughout South Dakota, too, and that she's not so much talking about, you know, her skills or her future, but she's really talking about the relationships that she has with her teammates, the relationship she has with her coach, with her community, with the roots, where she came from and how she's not going to forget that. And I thought, this is not just Maya's story. This is everyone's story who plays, you know, athletics in a state like South Dakota.
Exactly. And I know we've talked about it too, Lori, in the past few weeks about just the level of passion that fans and the people of South Dakota have for the sport of basketball, whether it be boys basketball and women's basketball. You know, you see it on the women's basketball side again. I mean, the Summit League tournament was going on this past weekend, and you had a session where both SDSU and USD were playing, and they brought 9,000 people into an arena to watch, you know, two women's basketball games. You know, that those kinds of numbers are absolutely remarkable, because you can go to Indiana, you can go to Kentucky, you can go to some other states that are big basketball places, but when the women are on the court, the arena looks completely empty, and we do not have that in South Dakota, which is something that everybody who's a basketball fan and everybody who appreciates the sport of girls basketball should be proud of.
Nate, I want to say thank you to you personally for bringing some of this stuff to us. It's really helped me kind of develop an appreciation for high school sports throughout the entire state and those deeper stories, as well as some of the excitement of the games themselves. So I know you're not going to get a hot dog and sit down and watch, but I bet you have to get back to work. So I'll say thank you.
Games are starting. So again, everything is on sdpb.org/basketball and A's on Channel 1 and Class B tournaments on Channel 3. So,
all right. Thanks, Nate. See you next time.
Thanks, Lori.